I love the fact when you read the Word of God, you can so many times see things, just how the Word all ties together. The more time you spend in the Word of God, the more you see that things tie together. And I love the fact that when you take time to spend time in the Word of God, how the Holy Spirit will just bring you to different places that you'd have never found, but He just brings you to different places, and all of a sudden you see how they tie together. And if you hadn't seen those two diverse and totally separate verses or sections of verses together, if you hadn't seen them at the same time frame, you wouldn't have understood. In other words, there's times, well, for example, this morning, I've been reading the last couple of days in 1 Corinthians. And so I'm reading 1 Corinthians, I've been reading through. I came up on chapter 15 today. But then this morning, I also, for no apparent reason, just decided to go back and read 1 Samuel. And when I was reading from 1 Samuel chapter 21, in reading 1 Samuel chapter 21, I could see the tie between 1 Samuel chapter 21 and then clearly, and you'll see in just a second, 1 Samuel chapter 21 is an incident where David and his men are scurrying for their lives away from Saul. And as they do, they're hungry and they stop at and get bread that was set aside for the priests. You know, bread that, according to the law, was set aside for the priests. And yet David and his men were given this bread by the priest that's there, and they ate of it. And then if you go into Matthew chapter 12, you see that Jesus actually refers to this as he's explaining things to the Pharisees who are questioning him on the things that his disciples are doing. And he uses this, amongst other things, as an example. And then that point that Jesus makes in Matthew chapter 12, we see Paul make that, build upon that and make that same point and add more depth of understanding for us who are past the time of Jesus. Jesus was still under the old covenant. He was the one that fulfilled the old covenant. Now with the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, we're now into the new covenant, the church era. And Paul shows us the truth from all of that. That is for you and I to understand as those who are believers in Christ and living under this new covenant. So you can see the Old Testament, you can see the time of Jesus, and you can see the new covenant. And you see it all in this one story. And I love the fact that if I hadn't really stopped to read 1 Corinthians today, now there's clear the tie between 1 Samuel chapter 21 and Matthew chapter 12, because Jesus actually references in Matthew chapter 12, he references the account of David in 1 Samuel chapter 21. So we can see that those two tie together. However, I just happen to be reading 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul then even adds to it. And he doesn't directly tie to those things, but it's the same truths and the same principles. And I just love the fact that the Holy Spirit, if you will spend time in the Word, the more time you spend in the Word, the more the Holy Spirit is going to bring revelation to you, and he's going to show you those things. He's going to show you those things in an instant. He will show you and lead you to show you things that tie together and build upon themselves. If you will make yourself, if you will earnestly spend time in the Word of God, he will show you things beyond what you've ever been taught or could think or imagine yourself. And it comes from that earnestness of spending time in the Word of God. So make sure you're spending time in the Word of God today. But now let's read. This is 1 Samuel chapter 21. Now David came to Nob, to Abimelech the priest. And Abimelech was afraid when he met with David, and he said to him, "Why are you alone and no one is with you?" So David said to Abimelech the priest, "The king has ordered me on some business and said to me, 'Do not let anyone know anything about the business on which I send you or what I have commanded you. And I have directed my young men to such and such a place. Now therefore, what have you on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand and whatever can be found.'" And the priest answered David and said, "Well, there is no common bread." Now, when he says common bread, he means bread that is ordinary or bread that has not been consecrated or set aside, offered to the Lord as an offering. And so he said, "There is no common bread on hand, but there is holy or consecrated bread, if the young men have at least kept themselves from women." David answered the priest and said, "Truly that they have." And so they all ate of the showbread. Now, the showbread was, again, this is bread that was set aside and was offered to God. Showbread was actually put in to the temple, and there would be 12 loaves of bread that represented the 12 tribes, and then after it was offered, it was for the priests to eat. New bread would be brought in, and that bread would be taken and eaten by the priest, but it was for the priest. That's according to the law, and you find that in the book of Deuteronomy. That's what the law says, or that might have been Leviticus, but that's what the law had said. That showbread Once it had served its purpose and had been offered to God, it was then to be eaten by the priests, and the priests only, because it was not common bread. It was consecrated bread. But here we see that David and his men, now David is running from his life. David is the king. He's been anointed by God as the king, even though he has not yet been lifted up and given the crown. He is God's chosen. He is the king that is to come. And as the king that is to come, you can even see that Abimelech takes those things that were for the priests and he gives it to David and his men. This is showing us that you can get lost in the letter of the law instead of really understanding the spirit of the law. And God would not want his men to go hungry. So you can see the difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. Now, David refers to this if we move ahead in Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to read the first couple of verses in Matthew chapter 12. So Matthew 12 says, "And at that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck the heads of the grain to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath.'" So in other words, according to the law, on the Sabbath, you were not allowed. Those who were questioning, the Pharisees who were questioning the disciples, what they were saying is, according to the law, on the Sabbath you're not to work. And to pick grain was considered to be work. And so the Pharisees are saying, "Hey, Jesus, your disciples are doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God, ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for any who were with him, but only for the priests. Have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are then blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." So here's what Jesus is saying, and here's what's taking place. So the Pharisees are questioning Jesus, and they're saying, "Well, your disciples are doing what is unlawful. Your disciples are doing what they're not supposed to do because it's the Sabbath. They're breaking the Sabbath. They're doing work." And then Jesus goes back to uses the reference that we just read about David. I'm going to read some of those verses to you in the Amplified Bible, and that's going to give you a bit more understanding. This is Matthew chapter 12, verse number 3. "He said to them," so this is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and those who accompanied him?" And he's talking about what David did. "How he went into the house of God and ate the loaves of the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for the men who accompanied him, but only for the priests," for the priests only. David is saying this is what David did. David himself did this, and you as Pharisees should know this. This is the word of God. "Or have you never read," and here's the key, "have you never read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple violate the sanctuary of the Sabbath, breaking it, and yet they're guiltless?" Now, here's what he's talking about. If you go back to Numbers chapter 28, in Numbers chapter 28, God is giving directions. He's laying out the law for how things should be done. And one of the things that he's talking about is how two pure, spotless lambs need to be sacrificed. One in the morning, one in the afternoon. And he goes through all of this, explaining exactly what needs to be. And every day there needs to be a sheep offered in the morning, a sheep offered in the evening. Every day. And he makes it clear that even on the Sabbath, and this is what Jesus is talking about. In Numbers chapter 28, verses 9 and 10, we see that the priests are instructed to on the Sabbath, which God said not to do things, not to do the work on the Sabbath, but God gives the instruction that on the Sabbath, they are still to kill a lamb in the morning and a lamb in the evening as part of the offering. And so Jesus is saying, listen, have you not read the law on the Sabbath with the priests in the temple? They violate the sanctity of the Sabbath. In other words, he's saying the Sabbath says they should not work, they should not do, but they violate that, but they violate it on the command of God who said that they should do it. They're breaking it, and yet they're guiltless because they're doing what God has instructed them to do. So he just showed all of the Pharisees who've made these accusations, he just showed them through the example of David and now through the example of the priests themselves that you are sticking to the law and to the letter of the law, and you're missing the intention and the spirit and the heart of the law. And that's why he goes on, Jesus goes on to say, but I tell you, something greater and more exalted and more majestic than the temple is here. He's saying, you're worried about the things of the temple. You're worried about the things of the law. But something that is greater than the law is here. And he's talking about himself. The temple represents the law and the old covenant. But Jesus says, there is something greater that is here. Look beyond just the letter. See the heart of God and the intention of what God is doing. Look and see the fulfillment of the law. And then he says this in verse number 7. And if you had only known what this saying means, I desire mercy. Now mercy there in that particular context means readiness to help. This is exactly what the priest Abimelech did with David. He was ready to help. He wasn't stuck to the letter of the law. He was ready to help with mercy, to do and to obey the things that the Lord had said and commands. Readiness to help. So again, Jesus is saying to these Pharisees, and if you would only know what this saying means, he's saying you should understand this saying. I desire mercy, readiness to help, to spare, to forgive, rather than sacrifice and sacrificial victims. You would have not then condemned the guiltless. Jesus is saying you are so stuck to the law that you're missing the heart and the intentions of God. And God the Father is a God of mercy. And Jesus had come to be that mercy. And he is saying this is the heart of God. You should understand this saying, I desire mercy. In other words, readiness to help those who are in need. The Pharisees were so stuck on the law that they didn't even see the opportunity to help those who were in need. And because they were so stuck on the law and the letter of the law, instead of having the heart of God himself, they were so stuck on the law and the sacrifices, that's why they condemned those who were guiltless. And he is saying that David was guiltless. The priests back in Numbers were guiltless, even though they did not keep the sanctity of the Sabbath, but they did it under what God had instructed. Now here is God himself in the flesh telling them things and telling them what is the truth. And he's saying that just as David was not guilty and just as the priests were not guilty, so the disciples are not guilty either. Now let me read this to you one more time, then I want to finish by looking at going ahead and looking at 1 Corinthians 15, and you'll see how this whole thought and process carries all the way through. So again, Matthew chapter 12, verse number 7, this is Jesus speaking. And if you had only known what this saying means, here's the saying, I desire mercy, readiness to help, to spare. Mercy means you spare someone, to forgive. I desire mercy rather than sacrifice and sacrificial victims. If you had only known the saying, you would not have condemned the guiltless. They make themselves guilty by condemning the guiltless. And that's the mistake of living by the law. And Jesus has fulfilled the law. Now, as we read in 1 Corinthians, as we move ahead to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul himself is talking, and this is in his letter to the church of Corinth. And he's talking about the resurrection and the things of the resurrection and how the resurrection works and the resurrection of the body and the victory of Jesus over death. And listen to what he says. This is starting at verse number 55. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Now sin is the sting of death, and sin exercises its power upon the soul through the abuse of the law. And this is exactly what we see the Pharisees were doing. Let's say that again. Now sin is the sting. Sin. He just said, where, O death, in Jesus Christ, He says the final victory is going to be over death. And then he says, where, O death, is your victory? There is none, because Jesus has defeated death and will defeat death. O death, where is your sting? There's no sting to death. Why? Because right now, sin is the sting of death. And sin exercises its power. There is power of sin, and it exercises its power upon the soul, upon the individual, the mind. The soul is your mind, your thoughts, your personality. It's the inner person of who you are that is eternal, the unique creation of you. It exercises its power. Sin exercises its power upon the soul through the abuse of the law. But thanks to God who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile and is never wasted or to no purpose. This is what the Pharisees did not know and did not understand and did not learn and could not understand because they were so focused on the law. And I love the fact that Paul says, now sin itself is the sting of death. And sin, it is sin itself that exercises its power upon the soul through the abuse of the law, which is exactly what the Pharisees were doing. And Jesus said, this is what you should have understood. You should have understood that I desire mercy. This should be our heart. Our heart is to serve. You know, when Jesus said, this is what we're supposed to do, when Jesus said through Paul in his letter to the First Corinthians letter, what he is saying is, when you serve, you should have a heart to serve others, to excel at doing the things of the Lord in service to Him, having mercy, being willing to work and to do, to have a heart for, to have forgiveness for others, instead of being stuck on the law, because it is the law. It is the abuse of the law that brings that sting of death. You can see that truth from the time of David. You can actually see it back in Numbers with the priests. Moving forward, this is how the truth of God carries through all time. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can see it with the priests in Numbers. You can see it with David. The same principle, the same truth with David when he was with his men and he ate the showbread. And you can see it when Jesus was with his disciples and they were eating, gleaning from the field on the Sabbath. And you can see that truth even exemplified further with Paul in 1 Corinthians. Here's the thing. Spend time in the Word today. Spend time. Make the Word the priority. And you will see how all the Word fits together. And the Holy Spirit will show you. I've never looked at 1 Corinthians in comparison to those other two examples before. But just because, is it happenstance? No, it's not happenstance. The Holy Spirit had me read all of those things together today so I would understand it. And this is what He does for us. If you'll spend time in the Word, He will show you things you've never seen before. Excel at spending time in the Word and the freedom and the liberty of the Word.